ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 9, verse 19 and 20. Of course, they're in prose. It seems like I keep on getting these verses. So I will just say I'll just chant the Sanskrit, and then we'll go into the translation, word for word. Okay? Oh, Krishna. Evam eva kalu mahad abirati karma karjnatmane palati. Translation, when an envious person commits an offense before a great personality, he is always punished in the way mentioned above. Okay, and then text 20 is quite a quite a maha verse. You know, does anybody actually want to try chanting the whole thing? Because it's like, if I do it, we might take 45 minutes the way I go. Krunamayi Mataji, would you like to? Okay, well, I feel bad for everyone. So, Nava etat Vishnu data mahat abhutam yat asam rama svasira chedane apati api vimukta deha adi atma bhava sudridha ridaya grantinam sarva sattva sut atmanam nirvaranam sakshat bhagavat animisha arivara ayudena aparamatena tai tahai tahai. I guess these verses are so hard to chant because it's just like there's no rhythm. Bhava parik rakshamanam tatpada mulam akutaschit bayam upasratanam bhagavata param parama hamsanam. Hare Krishna. So, not, va, or, etat, this, Vishnu datta, O Maharaj Parikshit, who is protected by Lord Vishnu, mahat, a great, abhutam, wonder, yat, which, asham brahma, lack of perplexity, svasira chedane, when chopping off the head, apatite, was about to happen, api, even though, vimukta, completely liberated. Deha adi atma bhava, the false bodily concept of life. Sudridha, very strong and tight. Ridaya grantinam, of those whose knots within the heart. Sarva sattva surit atmanam, of persons who in their heart always wishes well to all living entities. Nivairanam, one who do not find anyone as their enemy. Sakshat, directly. Bhagavata, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Animisha, invincible time. Arivada, And the best of weapons, the Sudarshan Chakra, Ayudena, by him who possesses the weapons, Apramatina, not agitated at any time. What's that next word, Shamananda Prabhu? Tai Tai, okay, I was right. Yes, you know. Tai Tai, by those respective. Bhavaha, moods of the personality, moods of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Parirakshamanam, are persons who are protected. Tat padamulam, at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Akutaschit, from nowhere. Bayam, fear. Upasritanam, of those who have taken complete shelter. Bhagavat, of devotees of the Lord. Paramahamsanam, of the most liberated persons. Translations by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sukadev Goswami then said to Maharaj Parikshit, O Vishnudatta, those who already know the soul is separate from the body, who are liberated from the invincible knot in the heart, who are always engaged in welfare activities for all living entities, and who never contemplate harming anyone, are always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who carries his disc, the Sudarshan Chakra, and acts as supreme time to kill the demons and protect his devotees. The devotees always take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, at all times, even if threatened by decapitation, they remain unagitated. For them, this is not at all wonderful. Purport. These are some of the greatest qualities of a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. First, a devotee is firmly convinced of a spiritual identity. He never identifies with the body. He is firmly convinced that the spirit soul is different from the body. Consequently, he fears nothing. Even though his life may be threatened, he is not at all afraid. He does not even treat an enemy like an enemy. Such are the qualifications of devotees. Devotees are always fully dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Lord is always eager to give them all protection in all circumstances. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Purports of the 5th canto, 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Supreme Character, Jad Bharat. Om Aganati Damnishar Gananjana Shalakaya Takshu Unminatam Yanatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhyastam Stapita Yena Bhutare Swayam Rupa Gadami Yanatati Swapatantikam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Rueta Gadadhar. Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the Srimad Bhagavatam keeps on giving us the example of what it means to be a Vaishnav. Right? Over and over and over and over and over again, Srila Prabhupada is telling us in these purports what the qualities of a Vaishnav is, what the qualities of a pure devotee are. And if we look, why does he do this? To pound it into our heads that this is where we have to come to, right? We have to come to the level of being a Vaishnav, which means that we have to ultimately surrender to Krishna and not even worry. You know, like they say in Australia, no worries, mate. You know, no worries, because the Supreme Lord will arrange everything for you in such a wonderful way, even though it might be poison, even it might taste very bitter how he does it. Even though it might not be what we exactly want, right? It's one time Kavi Chandra Maharaj told me, he said, what are your plans? And I said, well, you know, to do this and do that and do this. He said, if you really want to make Krishna laugh, go tell him your plans, because he'll totally change it into something else. And it's true. Krishna, we have our plans, our desires, what we want to do in life. And in Krishna totally smashes all that, because he knows what's best for us, right? Because we don't know. We think that we know what's best. We think that we know how to go back to Godhead based on our own mundane intelligence, based on our own mundane qualifications. We think we know how to go back to Godhead. We think that we're following the process perfectly. You know, that we can't, that nobody can tell us anything. And so therefore, we keep on suffering, and therefore we keep on missing out on opportunities to taste this nectar of surrender, this nectar of receiving the mercy, right? Because the mercy is everywhere. Nobody can doubt that. And nobody can say the mercy is not there. The mercy is there. Everywhere you look, the mercy is there. Everywhere you look in this temple, we're becoming purified by the pictures of Krishna, being purified by the seeing the Vaishnavas, being purified by the devotional process. As yesterday in Bhakta class, we were actually reading about this, about how hearing is the most important, right? And not seeing. It's more important than seeing, even hearing, right? So all over where we're being purified, the consciousness is being purified, the heart is being purified, and whenever we want, we can become fully dependent on the Supreme Lord. We just have to want it. Not in a falsely humble way, like, Prabhuji, please bless me that I can become a humble, dependent servant of the Lord. Not in some like falsely humble way, but like in a real way, coming from the heart. Not externally just saying, I want it, please, my dear Lord, make me fully dependent on you, but actually absorbing this mood in the heart. Actually placing it in the heart and keeping it in the heart, not making it an external show for everybody to show how advanced you really are or like how advanced you're really not, depending on how good you are at fooling people, you know? Krishna consciousness is a heart movement, right? Which means that all these external things are good. We're trying to engage the external, you know, the hands, the legs, the eyes. We're trying to engage all of these things into this Krishna consciousness movement, in this bhakti marg, this path of bhakti, a path of devotion. But ultimately, we have to give our heart. We have to actually, you know, develop the heart, right? Because your hands aren't going to take you back to Godhead, you know? Like, I mean, we do so much nonsense with our hands all day on Facebook, you know? All day on Skype, all day online, right? All day doing so much nonsense, looking at mundane literature, all these things we do. So we have to purify our heart, and from purifying our heart, the rest of our body, we become like Ambarish Maharaj, who engaged every limb of his body in the service of the Lord. Right? We read about this. The legs, the arms, the mind, the head, you know, everything was there. Right? So Prabhupada's telling us here, what does a devotee do? A devotee, he never identifies with the body, right? He never sees himself as this body, right? He sees himself as a spirit soul, or at least we're supposed to see ourselves as a spirit soul, surrendered to Krishna, engaged in devotional service. Narottam Das Thakur, he has such a nice bhajan about the Vaishnavas, right? Where he says that if you commit an offense to Krishna, that can be forgiven. But if one who commits an offense to a Vaishnav, he will never be forgiven, unless that Vaishnav forgives him, right? He says that the Vaishnav always has Lord in his heart, and Govinda always has the Vaishnav in his heart, right? So we see that this being a devotee is much more than just tilak and wearing, you know, some devotional clothing and having these huge japa mala that you're like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Two people have to turn the mala for you because it's so big. And these huge, you know, these huge neck beads. It looks like you're like one of these African tribe members that have these huge, you know, neck things that stretch the neck out and all this stuff, right? It's about more than just putting your dhoti in a fancy way like the guru kulis love to do it. Sometimes that, you know, it's like I tried to do it once. It became so confusing. I thought I had a sari on at one point because it was just like wrapping and all these things, right? It's more than doing all this. It's more than just external features, right? It's more than just, you know, going before the deity with folded hands and saying, Govindam, what's for breakfast? Is it khichdi again? It's about giving your heart, right? And Prabhupada's giving us all the qualities here, some of the qualities of a devotee, right? You don't see Prabhupada's mentioned that the pure devotee, you know, he's not based, you know, he has to have his dhoti in such a perfect way. If you look how Srila Prabhupada, in most pictures, Srila Prabhupada's cloth is very wrinkled in it from, I mean, very detached, just, but you can see his heart. Krishna was there in his heart, right? So sometimes you see Srila Prabhupada, he had mismatching color saffron, sometimes a very dark top and a very light bottom, and sometimes, you know, but what is in his heart? He has Krishna in his heart, and he's giving Krishna to everyone. So this fifth canto is so amazing because this fifth canto really cuts every false attachment we have. Right? It really does, where we can easily go past the modes of material nature and go back to Godhead very easily. Right? I was reading in Nectar of Instruction, text 5, where, I believe it was text 5, where Prabhupada says in a purport that if one takes initiation seriously, at the time of initiation, one is already at the Madhyamadikari platform. If one takes it seriously, right? So why aren't we there yet? Because we still haven't taken it super serious. We've taken it serious to some extent, right? But we can always do better. You know, we can always improve. We can always strive to go far further. Like Vaisheshika Prabhu always says, ABS. Anybody knows what ABS stands for? Always better service, right? That we should always look at our services and we should also think how we can do better service, right? How we can look at things, how we can look at ourselves, look at our japa, how we can do better service. Because by performing this devotional service, we're gradually, like the little engine that could. You know, the story when I was a kid, my mother never read to me, but somebody else read to me once. And it was like this little engine. It was like, I think I can. And this little engine was trying to go up the hill, and I think I can. And that's in the same way, we're like that. And by following the devotional process, we think we can, and eventually we can. Eventually we're there, right? So we have to look at what Srila Prabhupada has set up for us. He's set up a system for us to fully become Krishna conscious. You know, the first thing we do when we wake up in the morning, he taught us to pay obeisances to the spiritual master, right? Then what do? In the morning, we sing Guru Vastakam. We're meditating on how the spiritual master engages the disciple in the service of Radha and Krishna, right? How the spiritual master, he's like a rain cloud. And he pours rain down on the forest fire of material existence and a blazing fire of samsara, right? We're meditating on this, right? During these whole things. Then Srila Prabhupada gives us Nishinga pranams, Nishinga arti, right? To remove all the obstacles in our devotional service for the day. Right? Then, because Prabhupada knows we've probably made so many offenses the day before, that he gives us Tulsi Puja, where there we can walk around Tulsi and all of the seva aparads are neutralized, right? Then what's Prabhupada give us? Japa, right? Sit down, 2 hours of your day planned, chant your minimum 16 rounds, right? Then what is it? What does Prabhupada give us after japa time? Sleep time? Nap time? No. He gives us darshanarti. We can see the Supreme Lord. We can sing vandana, prayers, glorifications. And then after that, right back to meditation on the spiritual master and the wonderful qualities of the spiritual master. And after that, Srimad Bhagavatam class. And then the most important program of the day, prasadam time. Nobody misses that, you know? Nobody misses prasad. But you see, and then service, and then the evening is Bhagavad Gita class, Gaura Arati class, meditating on the wonderful mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Bhagavad Gita class. And here at Radhadesh, we have bhajans again. So Prabhupada has set up such an amazing system for us that we can develop this dependency on the Supreme Lord instead of this dependency on Maya. Right? Because it's either you're dependent on Krishna or you're dependent on Maya. There's no, like, you know, middle ground. It's either one or the other. At times we're dependent more on Krishna. At times we're dependent more on Maya. Right? But so Prabhupada set up this ISKCON. He says in the preface, the Nectar of Instruction, that he sets up this ISKCON to give strength to those that are tired of the material world, right? That he sets up this ISKCON to give a means to go back home in this life, a means to stop suffering. We just have to see if we can take advantage of it. We have to take advantage of it. Nobody can force you. Like Shamananda Prabhu can't come in and bang on my door and say, Partha, get up. Wake up, it's time. Time to go, come on. Cholo, he can't do that. I mean, he could, but I probably wouldn't answer the door. You know, nobody can go up into Brahmachari Ashram and keep on waking everyone up every 5 seconds to get up for Mangal Arati. You know, nobody can go into the Brahmacharini Ashram because as soon as that person walks away, what happens? You roll over back in your sleeping bag again. I remember in Africa, I mean, from 3:30 in the morning to 4:30 in the morning, I was like an alarm clock. Every 5 minutes going in and out of the Brahmachari Ashram, blowing conch shells, banging on pots, pulling people out of their sleeping bags, pulling them literally with the sleeping bag into the shower. And then as soon as I would leave, they would just go right back into the sleeping bag again. So it's an individual process, but you have to want it, right? You have to want it. You have to want to taste it, right? You have to want to taste it. Only you can make that decision. Nobody can make that decision for you. You can make that decision to try and keep on going, never giving up. Never giving up, no matter what, right? It's like, I don't want to be remembered as the devotee that did the preaching in Iraq or the big book distributor, right? I want to be remembered as the devotee that never gave up, right? That even though I've gone to so many difficulties, I never stopped. I just kept on trying and pushing and pushing and pushing, right? Who cares about all the accolades and all the praise? We should strive to never give up. Because devotional service is hard at times. Krishna consciousness is difficult at times. It's not every day the spiritual world where, well, it is, but we don't see it. But it's not every day where it's nectar, like Jai Nectar Bliss Prabhu. It's not like that every day. Every day comes with struggles. Every day comes with difficulties. Every day comes with battling the mind. Every day. Who here has totally conquered their mind? You know, the mind is horrible. You know, it really causes so much distress. But we can take shelter. If we're not, we could take shelter of the process. Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, hearing, chanting, remembering. You know, serving the Vaishnavas, associating with Vaishnavas that are advanced. Right, keeping good association. Right. And constantly by doing this, we become pure. And we come to the stage that Prabhupada is describing here in his verse, where we become fully dependent on the Supreme Lord. Has anybody ever tried to be fully dependent on the Supreme Lord? Like really honestly just said, that's it, I'm trying, I'm going to do it. Hanuman Prashakswami has a great story about this, where he says that, you know, he didn't want to get married, and he said, I just want to stay single. I just want Krishna. I don't want to get married at all. I just want to stay, you know, single, no women, no wife, you know, I just want to stay. And I'm fully dependent on you. I surrender. And then the next day, Hansadutta came up and said, you're going to take sannyas tomorrow. And he said, I didn't mean that fast. I was just like, I didn't mean that quick. Just, you know, but still, he did it. And he took sannyas and he's maintained his sannyas, you know, very strictly. You know, he's one of the strictest sannyasis we have in ISKCON, Hanuman Prashak Maharaj. So you see, it's when we say we want to be fully dependent, we have to be ready because Krishna is going to test it, right? We can't just say in theory, "Oh, Krishna, I'm so dependent on you." And then when something happens, and we're like, "Oh, anyway, I'm not ready for that just now. Just go away. It's okay. Maybe come back in a few years when I'm older. My kids are off to school. You know, I'm already, you know, an old person. Nobody wants to marry me." Then come back with all this surrender and all these things, right? So, Jaya Shishrada Gopinath Ki Jaya. So for me, the Srimad Bhagavatam is so wonderful because the Srimad Bhagavatam is just like our lives. That's right. Constant personalities constantly having to choose between Maya and Krishna, between doing what's right and doing what's wrong. And it gives inspiration. I mean, who doesn't get inspired by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam? By hearing that these personalities, they go through many things like we have to go through. You know? Many, many things. Many, many situations can be kind of we can relate to in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, demonic parents. I mean, my parents are not Vaishnavas, right? And when I joined, they hated, even to this day, my mother would probably rather me sell drugs than to be a devotee of Krishna, right? She'd be more proud of me. Like, she doesn't even talk about me anymore because I'm a devotee and, my life is, I wear a dress according to her. I tell her it's a diaper, but she says, no, it's a dress. And she just hates it, right? So who's that sound like? Hiranya Kashipu, right? I mean, you see, the pastimes can relate to us. It's this Bhagavatam is a systematic study to bring one to the goal of life, which is love of God, Krishna Prema, right? But we can see ourselves in the Srimad Bhagavatam, right? And we have to just take the example and stop listening to Maya. What's this? Anybody know this bhajan by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that describes sleeping in the lap of the witch called Maya? Right? My Guru Maharaj in Vrindavan, when he was the temple commander, he used to bang on the doors with kartals and sing that bhajan to wake up people to go to Mangal Arati all the time. He used to do that. So we have to waking up sleeping souls. Wake up. When are we going to realize that the material world is not worth it? Right? When are we going to realize that we should take Krishna consciousness more seriously, take devotional life more seriously, take the Vaishnavas more seriously, and appreciate the Vaishnavas much more? You know, like it says here in verse 19, when an envious person commits an offense before a great personality, he is always punished in the way mentioned above, and we see from the previous, right? We forget this one verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, sadhu sanghe savasashahaya, that evidence of all revealed scriptures, even by a moment's association with a pure devotee, one's life is complete. We have so many pure devotees in front of us. Right? We just don't see people's purity because we see our own, we push our own anarthas onto other people. And therefore we don't actually see how wonderful the Vaishnavas are. Because we see all the negative things in us, it's too hard to look at us, so we look in the other people. Except you, Frenchie, everyone sees how wonderful you are. You know, but I know. Do you see, but this is, so what should we learn from this verse? Anybody have any ideas what we should learn from this verse? The essence is Prabhupada's giving us what a devotee is. That he is firmly convinced of his spiritual identity, meaning he knows he's not the body. He never identifies with the body. He's convinced that the spirit soul is different from the body. He fears nothing. Right? He's not afraid even if his life is threatened. He does not see it have any enemies. He sees everyone as Gopa Kumar says in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, he sees every living entity as more advanced than him. Meaning that he doesn't see, there's no envy involved at all. You know, there's no lust, there's no anger with anyone, right? They're fully dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always eager, and Krishna is always eager to give protection to all of them, to them in all circumstances. That was the whole purport. I like these small purports because you can just read it again. But that's the essence. Prabhupada's giving us again, what a devotee is. It's like Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 4th chapter, verse 7. Prabhupada's giving the symptoms of a liberated soul in that chapter. So over and over and over again, we're hearing what it means to be a Vaishnav, what it means to, you know, how to recognize an advanced devotee, how to recognize a liberated soul, how all these different, we're hearing it again and again and again in case that, like, you know, we... So maybe one day we'll actually understand it, that we'll actually start applying what we're hearing. You know, it's like when I was a kid, I remember, you know, my father was trying to teach me something over and over again, and I just couldn't do it. You know, it was like something, it was something very simple, and I couldn't do it. And he went and slapped me in the back of the head, and immediately I can understand what it was, like immediately, because I didn't want to get hit again. You know, so I was like, okay, yeah, no problem, I'll do it right away, perfect. Oh, please don't hit me again. So, and it's like that. And so Krishna, he keeps on smacking us in the back of the head by giving us these same principles, these same teachings, these same qualifications, these same process, talking about it over and over and over and over. It's just like the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada mentions like over 15 times what the qualification to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam is in the first canto, in the first chapter. Over and over and over again. So maybe it'll sink into our dull consciousness what we're doing. So the essence of this verse, because I know I didn't explain it properly, but the essence of this verse is that, you know, we have to take these purports that Prabhupada is giving us. These purports are his personal ecstasies. These purports are given directly from Krishna, Prabhupada says. We have to take them and allow them to enter our hearts, allow them to become absorbed in our hearts, and allow our lives to be lived by these purports. But it doesn't happen overnight. But we have to understand that this is the goal. The goal is to become a pure devotee, to go back to Godhead in this life, and to take as many people as we can with us. You know, not going alone, but taking a huge Harinam of like a couple thousand people, you know, back to Godhead with us. So when Krishna sees us, then he says, "Oh, Jamastami Prabhu, come on in. Oh, what's this behind you? 1,000. Anyway, they're with you. Any friend of you, Jamastami, is a friend of me. So come on in, everyone." Right? We want to get as many people to come as possible. For that, we have to develop purity. Right? For that, we have to advance. Like one time, Hari Swari Prabhu said to Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, I want to preach." And Prabhupada said, "You're not preaching, I'm preaching." Right? Preaching, you have to have some realization. You have to have some purity involved. So you're not preaching, I'm preaching. Right? So we have to develop this purity to be able to touch people's hearts. Right? So if that makes any sense whatsoever, whatever I just said. I'm in a little pain, so I'm like trying to do two things at once. But yeah. This fifth canto is so heavy, isn't it? I mean, it's really a heavy canto, this fifth canto. It's like, I mean, if you make it past this and you don't give up, it's pretty good. Because, I mean, it just tells us about, I mean, everything that's wrong with us in a very direct way. You know, the other cantos, it's very kind of like, you know, packaged very nice. And like, in this canto, it's just like, you know, it's hitting below the belt, so to speak. It's just hitting, you know. And it just when you feel like you're going to get up, it hits you again. And just when you think, okay, I understand, it just punches you one more time in the gut, you know. That's this fifth canto is like that. It's meant to punch the material desires out of the heart. Because you're halfway there. You're halfway to Krishna's smiling face by the time you get to the fifth canto. As Prabhupada says, once you get to the ninth canto, you should be liberated. Should be a liberated soul by the time he gets to the ninth canto. So his fifth canto, I've come to the conclusion that this fifth canto is so heavy, is because it's the halfway point now. So now you're coming closer and closer to seeing Krishna's lotus face, which means more and more purity needs to be there. So this canto really like packs a wallop, as my grandfather would say. Right? So we should take each day and try and really give our heart to Krishna. Perform each service like it's our last service, right? Chant our rounds like it's our last rounds ever. Right? Look at the deities like it might be the last time we look at the deities. Associate with the Vaishnavas like it might be the absolute last time we might see them again. And this way we take full advantage of what's been given to us. You know? The Vaishnavas are very powerful. You know, in San Jose, they have a program called DAD. It's not where everybody brings their babies to the temple. It's Devotee Appreciation Day. And the whole congregation, it's maybe 500-600 devotees. They rent a big, huge hall, and everyone gets up and into a microphone and glorifies another devotee. And they do it for all day, they do it. Like all day, from like 7 in the morning to like 8 at night, and then they serve a feast. And they do it every month. It's Devotee Appreciation Day. Vaisheshika Prabhu says that, you know, by glorifying the Vaishnavas, one becomes purified. And it creates a nice mood of appreciation, of looking at the good, not the bad, because we tend to focus on the bad. So it'd be nice if we every day we should try this every day to appreciate the Vaishnavas, say something nice to somebody. You know, not just your wife or your husband or your boss, but say something nice to the Vaishnav, and even nicer to a Vaishnav you don't like. You know, I'm going to start that today. I'm going to start saying nice things. Usually I'm very negative, but Vaishnavas are powerful and we only advance by their mercy. So, any questions, comments, concerns? Anything? Yes, Madhu Gopal Baba. Yeah, but that doesn't mean we just step on everybody we can step on or get to get there. That doesn't mean like we just step on people just to get back. Because the goal is to go back to Godhead, and it's any means necessary. And I don't care, Madhu Gopal, if you're in the way, I'm going to kick you as hard as I can in the leg so you fall down. And then I'm going to jump on top. Then I'm going to walk over you to get there. I mean, Krishna doesn't really appreciate that, you know. So while we do make offenses, we make offenses because, one, we don't recognize people as devotees, right? We don't. Even people in following other spiritual paths, we don't recognize them as devotees of God. And we're very critical and we're very nasty a lot of the times. You know, so what do? You know, if you do make an offense, you ask for forgiveness. Like I remember one time I was doing traveling sankirtan in America, and I went to one devotee's house and he was watching TV and chanting his rounds, right? Watching CNN, chanting his rounds. And I said, I was a bhakta, and I said, "How could you do that? That's wrong." And he started screaming at me, right? "Who are you to offend me? Get out of my house." And he threw me out of the house and everything, right? And he wouldn't talk to me for weeks. And then I was thinking, wow, I just really made an offense, right? So then I tried everything, you know. I tried cooking something nice for him, but I wasn't a very good cook. So he didn't even take it. He just, "Get it away from me. I don't want anything from you." I was like, oh man, you know. Then I tried doing his laundry, and he just took it and put it back in the washing machine and washed it over again, right? Really, he was like, really, like he did not want anything to do with me. Then I took his kopins and I ironed his kopins and folded them very nice and put a bow on it, right? And then he said, then he forgave me. He said, "How can you be mad at somebody who does that?" So the point is that we may offend somebody, but, you know, that doesn't mean we just sit in a rut like, oh my God. Somebody, oh, now forget it. I throw my japa bead into the Ganga and forget, rip off my dhoti. That's it. You know, no, we try and go forward, but at the same time, we make up for what we've done wrong. You know, we've made up for what we've done wrong. It's powerful, you know, to really, forgiveness is powerful, right? Forgiveness is two ways, you know. Somebody did something to forgive that needs forgiveness, and you did something to somebody else that needs forgiveness. Forgiveness is powerful, you know. So just because we make an offense doesn't mean like, well, you know, it's in the means of any means to get back home, you know. No, it means we keep on going. But we look at the example of Sachimata, who offended Advaita Acharya. And what did Lord Chaitanya tell her? "Ah, that's okay, you know. Come on in, you know." No, look, he said you must get forgiven for what you've done. And what did Advaita Acharya say? "Well, no, you know, anyway, you know, like, no big thing." He didn't make a whole big drama over it, you know. Call the RCP and everyone and make a huge drama over, like, you know, an offense or whatever. No, they just, Vaishnav's hearts are soft by nature. So if you just say to a Vaishnav, you know, "I'm sorry, nine times out of ten, a Vaishnava will even forget what you did wrong. And so, yeah, I don't remember, but okay, no problem. Yeah, sure. Blessings. No, Vaishnava's hearts are soft, so it means that we have to be... But even better than making an offense is just being conscious of other people. Right? Then you can avoid offenses. Conscious of other people's... Because a lot of time we're very direct and we're very like mean and nasty when we correct people. And that's where we actually make the offense. It's not the correction, actually, that's the offense that makes the offense. It's actually the approach we take to make the correction. We like yell at them or scream or like say very nasty things. But it's described that one has to say three nice things, then say something wrong, and then say something positive to finish it. In this way, you know, it's like Sachinanda Maharaj. He gives such heavy lectures, but he says it in such a sweet way that everybody just accepts it. You know, and nobody thinks he's being so heavy, but if you really listen, it's like very heavy. But he says, my dear devotees, in just such a sweet way, and everybody's like, oh yes, Maharaj, we'll chant 64 rounds, no problem, you know, no problem at all. You know, so we have to do that, so, you know, we have to be more conscious of our dealings with devotees and more appreciative of the dealings of devotees. You know? So we have to do, Madhu. Did that answer the question? Huh. Very good. This is much good. Much good, much good. Anybody else have a question? Comment? Yes, Prabhu. Because most of our life plans are for material enjoyment, right? That's why we're supposed to, you know, go to our authority and sit with our authority and ask our authority, what do you think? Because we're so like, our mind is so chinchilla, it's all over the place, right? That we think, you know, like, what was it? I had this great idea one time. I was like, okay, there's a war going on at the Gaza Strip. I'm going to go and distribute books there, right? I was really all about to buy my ticket, and then my Guru Maharaj was like, no. No. Limit. Stop. You know, focus. Because we have our own plans, what we think, but basically we're thinking for, because we want some either material enjoyment, we want some recognition, we want something out of it. So our plans are not fully like in line with what's best for our Krishna consciousness. Right? That's why you tell Krishna that, he laughs at you. Because he knows what's best for you. Right? So it's okay to make a plan. But a plan should be a practical plan that's good for your devotional life. That you're going to be able to sustain. You know, like I want to get married. Okay, sure, no problem. I want to get married. Okay, what do I have to do to get married? Okay, I want to find the best looking, the most, you know, prettiest girl I can find. You know, I don't care if she's a devotee or not, because I have to wake up next to her for the next 25 years. It's a sentence. It's like a prison sentence. You know, I have to wake up 25 years next door, so she better be, like, supermodel, you know? But is that really what we need for our Krishna consciousness? Not really, you know? But that's what our mind says. Our mind says, let's go after this one because she's pretty or he's handsome or he plays the mridanga so well, you know? But then when you talk to your authority, he's like, well, you know, slow down there, slugger, let's look what's going to be help you advance in your Krishna consciousness, right? So it's plans are okay, but it's when we don't plan, we don't think them through properly, and we just think with the brain and not with the heart, not with Krishna, thinking of Krishna in the center, right? Well, so you can put it before, but you shouldn't. Well, why put any hope? Just put it to him and say it's up to you. You know what's best for me, or give it to the spiritual master. Guru Maharaj, you know what's best for my spiritual development, my spiritual life, so what do you think? Not that we're very attached, because that's why the spiritual master always says yes, like Kadamakanda Swami was saying. Do you want to get married? Yes. Do you want to stay brahmachari? Yes. Do you want to get a material job? Yes. Should I live in the temple? Yes. You know, because... If we go with some attachment to what we're doing, then regardless, even if he says no, we're just going to do it anyway, and we're going to make a huge offense. because we think we know better what's about, we think we know better. So that's why if one has a plan, one should just put it before the authority in a very detached way and say, okay, here you go. Because then if you're detached from it in some way and it doesn't go the way you want, then you don't commit an offense. You know, it's like that. That's why your spiritual master says yes. Because it's easier to say yes than to say no. Because if you say no, they do it anyway, and then it's a bigger offense than just saying yes and agreeing with it. You know, it's the fact. You know, plans are okay. Like, Prabhupada had tons of plans, right? You know, but Krishna was totally focused in the center. Ours are not quite there yet. We're still kind of like, you know, got that material desire in the heart, things like this. So therefore, our plans are not 100% Krishna conscious. You know, more like Krishna revolves around us than us revolving around Krishna. And so therefore, you know, yeah, sometimes Krishna totally smashes your plans. And sometimes he says, okay, this sounds viable. Okay, go for it. You know, through his pure devotee. So, yeah. But it's true, if you want to make Krishna laugh, tell him what you want to do. Because he'll probably laugh about it for a while. And he might give it to you, he might not. But you should be detached from it, not just, you know, like sit there. Like, Krishna, if you don't give me this, I'm going to hold my breath. Like a little child, you know, like just, you know. Yeah, you can see it like that, you know. But in the same way, you want to be practical, you know. Like Jayadvaita Maharaj always says, is Krishna consciousness, is it a theoretic process or a practical process? Well, if you don't put the theory into practice, if you don't put the philosophy into everyday practical application, then it's just a theory. It's just a theory. So, like, we have to make plans and be practical with our situation, not like these crazy off-the-wall plans of, like, I want to build, like, the Death Star from Star Wars so that we can blast all the Karmis out of here and just devotees are left and have little, and dressed little dogs up like Ewoks and have them running around with signs about Krishna. It's not such a practical plan, you know, like, very practical approach to Krishna consciousness. We have to mature in our Krishna consciousness. So a lot of times we're very immature in the way we do things. So, okay? Yeah? Okay. Ewoks. Anyway, any other questions? Yes? Well, taking initiation serious means that you just don't start, you don't go back to doing nonsense again. That you actually take the process seriously. That you dive into the process, you know, that you just don't like, you know, you don't do service with the consciousness of I'm doing this to fill my belly or keep a room over my head, that you're doing it because you're like, I really want to serve Krishna, I really want to give love to Krishna, to reciprocate with Krishna, right? Seriousness. Like if you look at the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, right? Many of them, they really follow this order. They really imbibe this section of this purport. Because they took it seriously. Like Prabhupada told them, you go here. And they didn't even ask a question. They just went. You know, we hear the famous story of Vishnu John riding on the back of motorcycles with his danda, you know. Because Prabhupada told him to go preach, you know. Or we hear so many famous stories like Jayananda. Prabhupada just expressed this desire, talked about Rathyatra, and Jayananda just did it. You know, he took it seriously. That's what it means, take seriously. It means just... Whatever pleases the spiritual master, doing it, not doing what you want to do to please yourself, and easily you can come to that platform. That's what seriousness means. Seriousness doesn't mean being on the computer and chanting japa, you know, at the same time. Seriousness doesn't mean coming and leading kirtan in front of the deities, but trying to stand out as such a, you know, I know how. You know, wearing your chutter, you know, where it's -5 outside and you're walking around with just a chutter on and just like, you know. It's not serious. You know? It's like serious. We all know what serious means. By diving into the process, chanting your rounds, like chanting your rounds. Doing your service, like, you know, really giving your service your all. You know, waking up early every day, trying to develop close Vaishnava relationships with all the Vaishnavas, not just the ones you like. Coming to Srimad Bhagavatam class, even though we don't like who's speaking, or even though we're not very inspired by the speaker. You know, it's like sometimes people say, how was Bhagavatam class today? It was aight, it was okay, you know, but the Bhagavatam is pure, it's perfect. He even says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that even if one composes, you know, prayers that are not grammatically correct, still Krishna's there and they're perfect, you know? So it's like, it's because we don't have taste. So that's what it means to be serious, develop taste. Jai. I think we can talk afterward because it's almost 9:50 and you know the tour program, how they are. Don't want them, you know, have Hari Bhakti waiting outside to hit me or something, you know. Don't want that to happen. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.